The trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit, according to Moliere. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. The trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. This is a biological and activity that takes place in our gardens, you know, but it also takes place in our minds. There are so many people who want to rush their spiritual growth. They want to rush their spiritual development. They want to rush into everything. I have had students over the years, and they say, I want to be a spiritual master now. I want to be a spiritual master now, now, now. And I think to myself, okay, here's what you do. Oh, that's too tough. Oh, that's too tough. Well, let's look at the tree. The trees that grow fastest and biggest and stuff like that are usually quite weak. When the storm comes along, it blows those trees over. If the wind is too strong, those trees do not have the intestinal fortitude within the bark to stand up against that. But you take your live oak trees, for instance, that have been around hundreds of years. You take your giant redwoods, and they don't have a lot of branches on them. They don't have a lot of leaves on them. They don't have a lot of foliage to absorb the chlorophyll from the sun and what have you. What do? They have a very strong stem. The wood of the redwood tree, the wood of the live oak tree, very strong, very powerful. And, of course, disease can get into the redwood trees, and disease can get into the live oak trees, and in no time destroy what 300 years or 1,000 years has done. But the trees that grow slow bear the best fruit. They bear the best conditions for themselves. I have no fruit trees to come to mind to use that as an example, but I do have the redwoods and the live oaks. And I do have people. Very seldom do you hear about a person who is a flash in a pan. There's a young man who went to the university. And at the university, he did so well that he graduated when he was a youngster. And he went on into graduate schools and so forth, and quickly went through them too, because the information was just nothing, no big problem to him. He was instantly at home with all knowledge. And then he went into the stock market. And in the stock market, he became a prodigy because he was so good. He could investigate stocks and bonds and the companies that had them, and he could quickly go to the core of what was important to him. And what was important to him was what was making the company a success, what gave the company strength, and whether the company was building slowly and strongly so that it would be always a good company. Many of the big companies like IBM and Xerox and Coca-Cola and so forth, people have come in as their CEO and have attempted to flash in the pan them, make them grow very quickly, very wonderfully. And what happened? They grew quickly and they went out of business. Some of the largest companies like Euron, whatever the name of it is, these various companies, Enron, and they became exceedingly big, bigger than IBM, bigger than these other companies, just dollar-wise, fantastic. But because there was quickness in them, there was also illegality in them. There was also rottenness in them. And so at the first moment of decay, evident to the world dug into it and found out other decay and pretty soon toppled the beautiful big tree. beautiful big company. This happens to us too. We want to grow so fast. We want to be so wonderful. I was thinking this morning as I was reading about listening within and introspection, how if I were to stop doing everything I'm doing and just sit in introspection, like many of the Hindus do, and just listen to the divine within me, I would have something to eat. I would have something to drink. I would have comforts. But I'd be listening to that divine within, and I would feel so fulfilled, so rewarded, so content. I would feel that I understood the infinite within me. And there was nothing more that I had to search for, nothing more that I'd have to look for. I'd feel so content in just being myself and having fun, listening to my own inner voice, listening to the divine in me telling me these things. And you say, well, isn't that what we're teaching? Yeah, that's what we're teaching, but that's not what we're doing. During our programs here at the monastery, I have previously given everyone the opportunity to have time to do their study lessons, time to do their meditation, time to do their introspection, usually an hour every day, time to do their recreation, to do their exercise, and a little time put in there to do work for the Inni, you know. And then what do I find? I find that there is a lack of integrity. A lack of integrity. They can take time away from the university, the hours that they're supposed to be spending doing university work, and they can make the meals. They can take time from the university and do the laundry. They can take time from the university and do the housekeeping and the cleaning. They can take time from the university and do all of these interesting things, which should not be. They should not be. If you are assigned that task, then that's your work. But if your task is to do other things, then that's your work. Do you take a typesetter and tell them, well, you can go outside and spend time doing gardening if you wish. I know it gets tiring doing typesetting. Well, then don't hire that person as a typesetter. Hire someone as a typesetter that is not tired after 8 hours of work. You're not always typesetting. You go to the bathroom. You have your cup of coffee. You have your lunch. You talk with other people that come around, and certainly not business. And you you do other things. You maybe put in, if that much, out of 8 hours, you put in 4 hours on the work. Because it just is not there. Now, if I were to say to the people, the time from introspection, we're going to do our laundry and cleaning during the introspection time. We're going to do cooking during introspection. Then I would get a hue and cry. Well, the reason we're here is to do this introspection. The reason we're here. Well, okay, I accept that. Now, let me not tell you, but let me listen in your mind during your next time of introspection. So I listen in their mind. And I find them thinking about talking to their relatives. I find them thinking about going over the book that they're reading by toll. I find them thinking about the articles from the magazines that they've been reading. I find them doing everything except listening to the divine within, quietly listening with nothing disturbing them. I like the remark that Swami Rama had made when he was a youngster being trained, and his master came to him when he was supposed to be meditating and said, Rama, are you meditating? And Rama says, yes, master, which meant definitely he wasn't meditating. If he were able to be aware of his teacher, coming up and asking a question, he was not meditating. If he were meditating, if he were in introspection, he wouldn't hear him. Now, you say, well, boy, I'd like to be able to introspect like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you do. You do. When you're watching television, Sylvia is out in the kitchen here cooking a meal. And I'm talking to the group, and I say, now, Sylvia, I want you to hear this, too. And I notice she just goes right on with her work. Sylvia, I want you to hear this, too. Oh, yes, okay. Yeah. She was so concentrated on doing her cooking and doing it well that she did not even hear me talking to her. Do you understand? Now, if you can cook a meal and have such beautiful concentration on your meal that you are not disturbed by someone coming and saying, are you cooking the meal? Huh? What's that? You know? Are you cooking the meal? Well, yeah, I'm cooking the meal. You know? They don't hear your question in time to answer it. They have to say, what? Are you getting my attention? You see, you can concentrate far better than you give yourself credit for. You can dedicate yourself more beautifully than you give yourself credit for, and it's a shame. It's a very much of a shame. Because when you are in introspection, your mind is flighty as a bird, and worse. You just do not pay attention. You don't pay attention to introspection. You are off on some other calling. When you're on your meditation, what does meditation mean? It means to think about something. Well, if you're thinking about something, then you should not be able to be, no one can get your attention. And I say, touch you, or say, Ingeborg, what, yeah. And she wakes up because she's in meditation. What would you like, you know? And, well, I just wanted to know what you were doing. Well, I'm meditating. This is my time for meditating. And, you see, we don't do that. We don't do that, and it's a shame. Ingeborg, when she meditates on the hoof. She's usually running around doing this and that and working here and working there. And then, because other people are not meditating in her same path, she feels they're not meditating. And, of course, that's not true. Everyone meditates according to their own way. And we cannot compare them to ourselves. Now, the trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. I was teaching the 3-hour meditation, which is a very powerful meditation program. And as I taught this 3-hour meditation, Patrick was with me, and he learned exactly what the 3-hour meditation was. And then one day I wasn't present, and he was leading the 3-hour meditation. And he told the group, now, during the 3-hour meditation, it's okay if you lay down. It's okay if you fall asleep. It's okay if you do these things. And I happened to hear him say that. And so I called him aside and I said, Patrick, what you do and call 3-hour meditation is one thing. What I do and call 3-hour meditation is another thing. You're teaching what I am teaching to them. You're not teaching what you're teaching now. The day will come that you will be your own teacher. The day will come that you will have your own school. The day will come that you will do your own thing, and that's fine. But when you're in this school, you teach what we teach. And you teach it very clearly and very beautifully. If you don't, then you're not doing the job. Well, I taught that you always sit upright. You keep your back straight, you keep your attention aware, and you don't let your head drop down because that means you're falling asleep. And I teach these, but it's a slow process. It's a slow process to learn that. Because when you're learning it, then you're in trouble. Because all sorts of thoughts want to come and take your attention. We deal with the men at the Freedom Ranch where they are learning Alcoholics Anonymous and Drug Anonymous and all that sort of stuff. And they're learning how to be master of their habit. And it's a very good program for them. And we offered the men who came to work here a copy of our book that they might like to read. And when they went back to the Freedom Ranch, they had to give the book to the Freedom Ranch to be given to them at the right time. And we asked why they couldn't have it right then, because, you know, they have time during the day that they could be looking at it. And the men at the Freedom Ranch said, we have 120 days or less to spend with these men. And we want to spend that time with them, teaching them how to be master of their habit. And to be master of their habit, after being drawn by their habit and possessed by their habit of alcohol or of drugs, that's quite a change. And just 120 days is not much. They really have to want to do it. Now, if they're going to read other material while they're here studying with us, the 120 days is not long enough, because their mind will be diverted into other things. And when their mind is diverted into other things, they will not be affirming the affirmations of the Alcoholics Anonymous and of Drug Anonymous. You know. Now, that's noble, and that is beautiful, and that is understandable. Now here we have the Absolute Monastery, which is a very terrific place. And in the Absolute Monastery, we teach the teachings of the University of Healing. And we have very simple rules. I think there's 18 of them, perhaps, 13, 18 of the rules. And these rules are if you open it, close it, that sort of thing. Now, some of you tell me you have been here for 10 years, 20 years, whatever. And I say, what's rule three of the rules of the house? And you don't know. What's rule one? They all know rule one. If you open it, close it. That's the only. But they don't know the others, because they have no sincerity about them. They have not decided to follow the program here at the monastery to get the greatest benefit from it. Instead of reading our textbooks, I had to create a special program for them to do that, but instead of reading our textbooks over again, they read other books. They read other books, which are beautiful books. I mean, Eckhart Tolle's books on now is fantastic, but it's not what we teach. It's not what we teach. Reading all the magazines that I make available to attract your attention is not what we teach. And if you are drawn to those magazines and because you want to know what's going on, then you're wasting your time. And then you complain that the teachings that we teach you don't work. It's not that the teachings don't work, it's that you don't work. You don't work in training yourself into these things. You see, the tree that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. So instead of saying, boop, I got it already. Zimp, I got it already. You know, I understand it. You know, you said that before. I know Ellen often said to me, Herb, you use the same illustration again and again and again. You use the same concept again and again and again. And then after some 10, 12 years of doing that, Ellen says, oh, I understand now what that meant. I understand what, because you didn't concentrate on it before. You didn't make it yours before. You knew everything else before. Now, you see, Ellen has been going through some fabulous experiences with her children and grandchildren. And she knows all about them. She knows where they are, what they're doing, what their ages are, how they're growing. But if I said to Ellen, can you go into introspection, and I come in the room and walk through the room making noises and stuff like that, are you so deeply in introspection you don't hear me? When I have you sit at the table for 5 minutes before each meal, today you did it after each meal, before each meal, do you sit so quietly and so introspectively that you don't hear the building fall down? No. Why doesn't it work for you? Because you haven't trained yourself in it. You have allowed yourself to find every diversion on the books to take you away from this. Some of you can tell me what's in every article in every one of these magazines. And you think that makes me very proud of you. Ilse, with all of her problems that she had, she could tell you verse and line of what were in all of the books that we taught. Now, why was she so... That was one of her dedications. That was one of her dedications. She had some problems, and everyone's got problems. And her problem controlled her because of one thing. She wouldn't cooperate with what her doctors told her to do, to take her pills regularly. Now, Ingeborg has come back from the doctor after having conditions that needed attention, and Ingeborg takes the pills like, you know, her life depended on it, and her life does depend on it. The day will come when she, her life is not dependent on it because she is so in tune with herself. And when that day comes, the pills will be, whether you take them or whether you don't, won't make any difference. But the thing is, I go after you on the major points that are for you to learn, like mind your own business, keep your nose out of other people's business. The Buddha taught this. Jesus taught this. Let him who is without the first sin cast the first stone. Without the first sin. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. But, you see, can you do that? What right do we have to judge another person when we ourselves have areas that people could judge us on? The tree that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. Grow slowly in your treatment. If I ever hear any of you say again, oh, we've been here 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I will say to myself, I wish you would leave. You're a bad influence on the people who come here for 6 months. Because if you have gained anything in that time, beautiful. If you have not gained anything and you're complaining that you haven't gained anything, then you're in the wrong place. You are really in the wrong place. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Are you this tree that grows slow and bears wonderful fruit? Are you the type of person that someone could make a bad remark about and you would turn it around and say, thank you for that wonderful suggestion. I will pay attention to that. Agreeing with your adversary quickly. Are you the kind of person that takes criticism and feels that you are being belittled by it? Well, then you are being belittled by it. Where do you stand on this roadway of life? Well, I know what's going on inside of each one of you. I know what you're thinking, and I know what you're doing, and I love you regardless. I want you to objectively know what's going on inside of yourself too, and then make those changes that will benefit you. It's that simple. Just that simple. If you read a magazine and you find it charming and distracting, and then you have trouble with a mental attitude on something, perhaps you should have spent that time that you read the article on affirming, I am balanced, I am harmony, I am peace, I am love. Oh, I do that all the time. If you do that all the time, then you would be peace, harmony, love, and balance. So, you can't fool an old dog, you know. Been there, done that. And I'm an old dog. And I've seen everything you're doing, and I love you. But when you tell me that it doesn't work, I tell you, you're making a big mistake. For your thoughts are the only things that do work. And whatever you're experiencing, they're your thoughts. And your thoughts are the fruit of the tree that you have been working on for 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 years. Think about it. I love you all very much. And just have a wonderful day. I love you. I love you. I love you.